Good morning. We are here. It's still kind of mid-October. Today is Monday, October 20th. And Matt Neely, you gave us an awful lot of news there, some things that are lots of dynamics going on.
Indeed.
And I think safety is kind of on the top of everybody's mind with some of those headlines.
Yes, it is.
And also, you're right, crystal clear. It's a gorgeous morning here in southern Arizona. And I know that here at Rainmakers for so many months, we've been so happy that there have been a little bit of rain coming in our way.
Or
a lot
promise.
Of bit of rain.
And sometimes the empty promise of rain, but the promise of rain.
That's right. So we're making it rain in other ways, helping to support the community, giving highlights to organizations, initiatives, and people who are making a difference here in Southern Arizona and helping our families and businesses thrive. And this morning is going to be just like every other morning where we've got some great stories here on Rainmakers. I'm so excited that we're kicking it off this morning here live in studio with Desha Bimers Davis, who is the founder and just all around rainmaker for sure, with organization called 100 Plus Women Who Care Tucson. Desha, welcome, bienvenida, good morning to you. Thanks for being here in studio with us today.
Good morning. I'm super excited to be here. Thank you.
You bet. So Matt Neely and I, Matt, it's always great to see you behind the scene and behind the screen and keeping us on tap. And I know that we had a little bit of a week break because it was a holiday last Monday for several people.
And you were traveling,
and
I was traveling. Yeah.
I was attending a summit in California and couldn't be here live, but it made sense that we were also celebrating a recap of some great shows that we had had in the past, part of our best of. And I think it was Dr. Francisco Moreno, mm-hmm. who was on talking about the importance of mental health and men's health in particular,
right.
Not exclusively, but particular.
The men had the first hour and the girls had the second hour, the Girl Scouts.
That's
so
right.
That was a good combination.
And a good timing, I think, on both of those things, because wellness and health are on the top of a lot of people's minds as we change seasons. There's always a new shift in people, having allergies flare up, having some colds, kids are back in school, the weather is shifting, so a lot of attention to our wellness. But also, there's a lot going on in our world right now with the government shutting down on a federal level, with local elections happening in many communities coming up in just a few weeks, and many other issues going on, so that's a little bit of a stressor. We need to take a mental check or a check on our mental well-being and kind of take a deep breath and know that we need to keep going and be good advocates wherever we can on a number of issues. With that, I'm so absolutely thrilled that Desha is with us, because we're not only going to speak about the mission of 100 Plus Women Who Care and how it came about, but a very exciting anniversary coming up next week. So, Desha, before we get started in everything about the organization, though, let's tell the audience and our listeners and our viewers a little bit about you. Talk to me about your love for Southern Arizona and what puts you here doing the kind of work you do with Altria, with 100 Plus Women Who Care, and so many other things.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you again for giving us the opportunity this morning. I actually moved to Arizona from South Dakota, if you believe that. So
yep.
There's very few of us in South Dakota. And when I moved here in 93, I just fell in love with the mountains and our sunsets. There's just really no place like our sunsets.
Absolutely.
And so I don't think I made a conscious decision that this is where I was going to live and raise my family, but that's what happened. And I sold it so hard that everyone came here, my whole immediate family. So it was a transplant from South Dakota to Arizona.
They all followed you along.
Well, actually, I followed my brother, but yes,
he's
the one who got us coming down here. So, but anyways, we all are here now, and we've raised our kids and cousins and whatnot. So I'm married. I have a 34-year-old son who's married and gave us our first grandbaby last year.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank you. And they're expecting their second, so that's wonderful. But I've done my whole career in sales, and so 31 years ago, October 31st will be 31 years ago, I went to work for a company called Altria, big consumer products company. And so I've always been with people, mm-hmm. and out in our community because of that. And I was one of those people, like I'm sure many of us are, where you're the classroom mom, you're the soccer mom, the football mom, et cetera, et cetera. And so when my son graduated from college, I was looking for some way to give my energy and my passion back to our community, because I'd always supported, you know, our kids. And so I saw this post on One Hair Plus Women. That's kind of how it came about. But I just love Southern Arizona. I love the people. I think we're kind of a melting pot. We come from all over.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are welcoming and friendly. And I mean, you just can't help but get out and see God's creation. It's just a beautiful place. So
it sure is. Well, thank you for that. And I think anyone who has not yet had the pleasure to meet you absolutely will tie into your energy and your enthusiasm about supporting community, which is what Rainmakers is all about. It's really about telling the stories that, even if they are heard, maybe giving a little more information about them, or letting some folks know who may have missed the memo, so to speak, and let them know the great things that are going on. And what 100 plus women who care, which there are actually several more than 100 women, and so emphasis on the plus, is about giving back locally and putting some organization around the fact that many people are like you, where they have a desire and a passion about using their time, talent, and treasure to give back in schools, to give back to families, to give back to neighbors, and also to help support the many organizations that do need help. And so it is about fundraising, but it's also about time and attention and spreading the word, and not just giving once. There are so many opportunities when these women get together once a quarter to pool their funds, but also give their voice, and even before giving their voice, give the opportunity for these wonderful organizations to have a shot at telling their story and then getting voted on. And so that's kind of my summary, but I'd love to have you tell our audience exactly the mechanics about how 100 Plus Women Who Care come about.
Yeah, so 100 Plus Women is a national, actually an international movement.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about being a giving circle where we all pool our money together to make a bigger impact in our local communities than we could as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And so that concept just resonated with me. I'm like, man, I am busy, but I have an hour a quarter, and I certainly have $100 a quarter that I could, you know, join together with fellow like-minded women.
Sure.
And really make a difference. And so that's what we're about. Is it's so great because it doesn't matter whether you're a young mom, a retired, you know, professional, or in the thick of life, you come together for literally 1 hour a quarter, and you get to hear really about four different nonprofits, because you hear about the nonprofit that we just gave to the quarter,
the previous
before.
Quarter.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Thank you. And then you get to hear from three new amazing charities. And so whether you're looking to volunteer or you're just wanting to learn more about nonprofits, it's also a great place to come to learn if you have extra time, to see where you might donate your time or resources to.
Absolutely.
But the concept is wonderfully simple. We come together, and in 1 hour, you hear from three different charities that are nominated by our members. So these are charities that are near and dear to our members' hearts. Maybe they volunteer there, maybe they're a board member, maybe they were a recipient of their cause, and they felt passionate enough to nominate the charity. And what happens then is we have a local CPA, Julie Kluwer, who vets all the charities to make sure that they're legit, their funds are going to the right places, that they've been in existence for over 2 years also, so that we can see their fiscal monies, how they're being dispersed. And then what happens is, if after they're vetted and the member comes to the event, it goes into a hat, and we literally draw right there. It's a fun, it's kind of spontaneous. You don't know who's going to present. And so we draw three charities right from the hat, and those members, not the charities, the members actually speak on behalf of the charities, why they love them.
Why they nominated them to be considered.
Yes, exactly. And so you get to hear their perspective. And then there's 5 minutes where our members can ask questions. So you get to hear about that one charity for 10 minutes. So literally 30 minutes of our 1 hour is highlighting three charities. Then all of the members vote, and whoever receives the most votes, we all donate that $100 directly, you know, to that charity. So right now in 1 hour, we're raising around $40,000.
Which is amazing impact, because like you said, often nonprofits, and we have so many, tens of thousands of nonprofits just in Southern Arizona alone. So to have a chance to not necessarily have to wait for a grant application, a sponsorship vetting, or have to set up a special event in order to attract funds. This is a way once a quarter that nonprofits can benefit from local purses, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And hundreds of purses coming together.
Yeah, hundreds of purses and wallets coming together. And that's so exciting, because what I also love is that there's an ability for people to get involved every single quarter. And if you miss a quarter because maybe it wasn't in your budget, or you forgot, or didn't get in as a member, you still can attend as a member's guest to network, to listen, to see what's going on, and then maybe join up again the next time. I know that I've had that happen with me, that sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I forgot to sign up in time, and then have somebody be generous and offer me to come as a guest so I can at least see. And networking is a really great thing that happens at these events. But the exciting thing is you and your team and the local ladies who are members have been doing this for 10 years. Goes by in a flash.
Yeah, I can't believe this October will be our 10th birthday. And I remember 10 years ago just thinking, like, I just wanted to get to 100 women. Like, that was my goal, to start with 100. So we'd be giving $10,000.
Yeah.
And Tucson showed up. We started with 156 women, and we've just continued to grow. The other cool thing about our gift to these nonprofits is that it's unrestricted.
Yes.
So many times when nonprofits get grants or whatnot, they have to use them for specific things.
Right.
So a lot of times our gift comes in just in that right amount of time where they can do things that they didn't think they were going to be able to do.
Sure.
And so that's one of the other really cool benefits about 100 Plus Women. Yes, so this next Thursday, the 30th, will be our 10th birthday. And it will be our 30. We've been around for 10 years, but we took one give off for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took one off this last January when we transitioned from being just a giving circle to an official nonprofit.
That's right. So we're getting ready to go on to our first break. Can you believe it already? We're at our first break. So listeners and viewers, if you'll stay tuned, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about that transition that happened earlier this year.
Will do.
Happiness is the truth. And we're back after our first break. This is Lydia Aranda, your host for Rainmakers. If it's Monday, it's Rainmakers on The Morning Voice, the weekday positive talk radio show here on KVOI, The Voice. Matt Neely, how are we doing this morning?
Well, for a Monday, not too bad. I mean, could be a lot worse.
That's right.
Yeah, we're doing
and
all
we're
right.
Happy.
Beautiful weather. Song.
Beautiful weather.
Got the happy dance song.
And got the happy
doing
dance
the Snoopy
song.
Dance over here.
It always makes me happy to hear that song. And if one has a chance to look at the little video and see people just dancing around, doing a jig, clapping their hands, snapping their fingers. And I am happy about Desha Bimers Davis being in studio with us live this morning. Desha, thank you again for coming to join us on Rainmaker.
Thank you for having me here.
We are excited to be talking about 100 Plus Women Who Care Tucson, which is an affiliate or a chapter, if you will, of a larger initiative that happens not only nationwide, but I didn't realize internationally. So there are chapters and groups of 100 Plus Women Who Care that are in many, many locations. And next Thursday will be the big give, the quarterly big give, which happens every quarter here with this initiative. But the extra excitement that this is going to be the 10th anniversary of the Big Give. And listeners, if you didn't quite catch it in our first segment, we were talking about the purpose of 100 Plus Women Who Care, because as it says on the website, if you are a woman whose time is limited, but you have a heart for giving and you want to give back on a bigger scale, 100 Plus Women Who Care Tucson is for you. If you think the work being done by our local nonprofits in the Tucson metropolitan area excites you and you want to be a part of that in some way that might not be full-time, maybe it's even less than part-time, then this could be for you. And also, if you want to be part of a caring and amazing group of women that make an immediate and positive impact into our community, definitely 100 Plus Women Who Care is for you. So I love that you have that all just greeting anybody who visits your website, and they can learn a little bit more about the power of their individual gift. And it doesn't have to be a long-term commitment. It doesn't have to require loads and loads of money or family treasures. It is really about what you can come and do at the moment right now for so many organizations that exist. What a wonderful philosophy and mission. And I can see why you fell in love with it all those years ago and decided to launch this chapter. So tell us a little bit about, and I know that we were going on the break and we were going to talk a little bit about some of the exponential impact that and the organizations that the funding of 10 years has had. But I want to ask a question before that, and that is, so you're sitting here with a thought, you want to be able to give back. It's 10 years ago. You've got extra time on your hands, a wonderful network in your own right of your career. And you come across this notion. So what is it that it took to get this off the ground? Did you have to just sign up and say, I'm just going to do it, come hell or high water?
Like, basically, I had reached out to my friend in Omaha because I actually saw a post on her Facebook page, and it said, like, best hour of my quarter, you know, 100 women, $10,000, we give locally, and it just felt amazing. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to do that. I want to be part of that. And so I contacted her, and she's like, oh my gosh, if they have one in Omaha, Nebraska, they have to have one in Tucson. And so we got online, and they didn't. But they had one in Phoenix. And so I reached out to the Phoenix chapter, and they were like, no, there's been no one that has started one in Tucson. Just go for it. And so a couple of my friends and I went to Phoenix to experience their meeting. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, this seems doable, right?
Not impossible.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I was like, that happened like in September, October. And I was like, gosh, my husband and I just moved into a new house. Our kid had just graduated college. Christmas and holidays were coming. And so, and work was busy, et cetera. And so I was like, oh, you know, someone else will start it or
you're like, this is a great idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea, but I just really didn't take action. And then come March, I was out to lunch with a dear friend of mine, Mindy Bennett, and I fell and broke my foot.
Oh, goodness.
And so I was home for 3 months because it was my right foot, and I drive for a living in sales. And so that was like the perfect time. It gave me time to really think about how to do it. And so that's exactly what I did. I invited a different woman of every different decade of life, basically, because I knew that we needed a broad net of people.
Sure.
And so I invited them over to that house. I explained this simple concept that we could all pool our money together and we could make a bigger impact than we could. And the other really cool thing is that it leveled the playing field for everyday people.
Yes.
Like, a single mom can do this.
Right.
You know, a working professional can do this. A retired person can do this. You don't have to have millions of dollars like when you think of a philanthropist, right?
Mm-hmm.
You literally have to have $100 a quarter, and that coming together with other women can really make a huge difference in our community. I love this story. This is way back in, I think, 2017, so we're at 2 years, and we were still writing checks at this point. So crazy. And the diaper bank was who was the recipient.
Okay.
And so when I called the diaper bank, they, of course, hadn't heard of us because we were brand new. And I could tell on the other end that, you know,
they were like, you're who now? Giving us
what? And they're like, how much are you giving us? And I said, well, I'm hoping it'll be, at this time, it was around 17,000. And you could tell the guy on the other end was kind of like,
How did I get a phone call that just gave me this free $17,000?
Yeah. Well, and it gets even better because the week before he had been given a call from Huggies saying that if you pay for the freight, you could have $1 million worth of diapers for Tucson, but you had to come up with the freight like in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And guess how much the freight was?
Probably about $15,000.
It was like $16,800. Wow. I'm like, I will bring you the checks. And I always love to tell that story because that shows like your $100 in this case turned into $17,000, and that $17,000 turned into a million dollars
worth of diapers
for Tucson.
Yes.
I mean, and that's what happens is our nonprofits take our...
And I mean, that's an amazing donation even from a corporation like Huggies. That's a lot of diapers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was Huggies or Loves. I don't remember. But the point is like we can all come together and our $100 makes such a bigger impact when we do it together.
That's right.
And then these nonprofits can take our money and exponentially make it even larger.
And I think so that is so cool, and it just reminds me of the adage: if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go big, do it together. Yeah. And this is an example of that.
Yeah.
Now you have said a couple of interesting things. I know we're getting a little bit close to our next break already, believe it or not. But I do want to ask a question of. So you said back then we were still writing checks. I'm going to guess now there's because of all of the apps and the donation opportunities, electronic funds and things like that, that you probably have a little bit more streamlined, at least what I recall, of people can pay their membership fees into your organization more streamlined electronically, and then you can issue out
one check
instead of multiple checks is what I kind of gathered from that.
Yeah.
And again, we still have, so many transitions have taken place over the technology, and the more women that come together have probably allowed the organization to take advantage of some of those applications and systems, digital systems a little bit better as well. When we come back, I want to ask you how much money that you bring in actually goes out, because I think it's just real close to 100%. There's very little that stays in the organization. So listeners, stay tuned. We've got Desha Bimers-Davis here with 100 Plus Women Who Care Tucson, and we will be right back. And we're back this morning on our second half hour already of our first hour segment. Here at Rainmakers, we're listening to a little bit of the Dramatics with What You See Is What You Get. And I think that's a great descriptor of 100 Women Who Care Tucson. We've been enjoying a conversation live this morning in studio with Desha. Desha Bimers-Davis, who is the founder of 100 Plus Women Who Care Tucson. That is celebrating 10 years this October. And in fact, next week on the 30th, which is Thursday, will be the next big give. Desha, you've been telling us so much about what sparked the idea, how you found out about this great organization that actually exists all around the country and now in other places outside of the U.S., and what drove you to want to found a chapter here in Tucson to make sure that Southern Arizona could benefit from the local give that this organization really puts out. I want to let listeners and viewers know that if they want to learn more, if they want to sign up and become a new member, that the best way to do that is go to your website, I think is 100womenwhocaretucson.org, and that's 100100, and then spelled out womenwhocaretucson.org.
Yep, you can find all the information about how our events work. You can sign up to become a member before the event, if you'd like. You're also welcome to come as a guest and experience it. If it's your first time, we encourage you to come and experience it and make sure it's a right fit for you. And you can still join that evening and actually vote if you're like, heck yeah, I want to be part of this. We have a lot of women that join that same evening. And it is a year commitment that you're committing, whether you're there or not, you're going to give 100. It's actually, we now do $110 so that $100 can go directly to the charity.
And, wonderful.
And then that other $10 covers the credit card fees. Unfortunately, they take quite a chunk. And then the rest goes to 100 Plus Women for our like admin fees and you know,
things like that.
Yeah, your websites, etc.
And so it sounds like, because sometimes people go get down to brass tacks, that so their money as membership goes mainly, it sounds like 90%, if I do my math right, 90% goes straight to the charity gives. And then the other percent is divided over organizational funding, if you will, administrative fees, and then the slight little, those credit card charges.
I know,
they cost something
cards.
For everybody, yeah. But at least if people know that going in, they know that their money can go. And it helps make a difference. So you were just telling a great story before the break, that at one of your early gives, you were able to accumulate $17,000 in one of the quarters. And it went to the local Southern Arizona Diaper Bank. So that means that $17,000 means that there were 170 gives, 170
women.
Members
that
gave that money, 170 women, so definitely plus.
Yeah.
And at a highlight, I remember, I think it was just last year, there were 685?
We had grown to 685 last year, which was so exciting, because then we actually gave $50,000 to the recipient that evening, and mm-hmm. then we split the balance between the other two. And that's our goal, is to get back over that 500 mark.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, or fortunately, I think timing and everything happens for a reason.
Yes.
We had been partnering with a local organization here that was our fiscal sponsor, and they just changed the way that were doing their fiscal sponsors. And so that kind of gave us the nudge of like, man, should we become our own 501c3? Because then we own all of the back office, and we wouldn't be in that situation again. And so it was really exciting, and also very
probably a little overwhelming.
A little overwhelming, yeah. Thankfully, we have Julie Kluwer, who really is our advisor in all nonprofit things.
Mm-hmm.
That's her expertise. And so we were able to become an official. We got our official paperwork from the government that we are 501c3 in January.
Your new number,
yeah.
And all those exciting things.
Yeah, and so that is really exciting. So we control our own back office now. And so we're just waiting for those. We're missing about 300 members. We hope that they come back, hopefully maybe this October. But
hopefully Rainmakers can make a little bit of difference by having this out on the air and reminding people that it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what walk of life, what career industry, what phase of your professional career or personal life path you're on, that if you think that you can have $110 per quarter to give, you can make that commitment and sign up, and it's just real easy.
It is. It's so easy, and you leave feeling like, wow, everyone says like, man, when I leave there, I feel just high, you know, because you did good in the community, and it's a great—
For $33 a month.
Yeah,
you did pretty good.
And, oh, by the way, our events are free to attend. I mean,
so
where can you go?
There's not a ticket price on top of the membership. It's just come and be.
Yes. I mean, because most everything in Tucson these days costs money, because events cost space, et cetera. And mm-hmm. so I'm really proud that we've been able to keep that at no charge for our members to attend and our guests to attend.
That's right.
So I hope that if you're listening today, that you come join us and check us out. Or if you were a member in the past, come rejoin us. And that's what I always say, you know, life happens. And so sometimes our members ebb and flow in and out, and that's okay. We just welcome you back when it is the right time in your life to come back. So this October, next Thursday, the 30th,
mm-hmm.
from 5:30 to 6:30 is a social hour. And you had mentioned it's a great place to network.
It really is.
It has all like-minded women. You're there with open hearts. And so I think people are just more receptive to learning and listening during that hour. And then we start right at 6:30 sharp. and we typically go for 1 hour. I will be honest, it's our birthday, and so we might go a little bit over.
A little bit over. Well, all of the events that I have attended, all of the gives, I have been impressed that the timing is right on time. I mean, it's 5:30 to 6:30. At 6:25, people start shuffling in, being reminded to go in and sit down into the main area for the presentations, for the drawings,
yep,
and the announcements and the videos and all those things, and you work like clockwork, and it works really well. It doesn't feel rushed. It just feels like it moves along with the right kind of cadence. And then people, of course, are welcome to retire after when it closes out to the lobby, because this is held at Westin La Paloma.
Yes, and we've been at Westin all 10 years. They've been amazing partners with us.
And they make it very comfortable to come and go and find their way, and it becomes just a regular see and be seen, even during and after, because then you can go over to the lounge or out on the patio and just continue to speak with not only the folks who have benefited from the give, but if people want to learn more and ask more questions or get to know some of the members, that's a great place to do it. Big impact, little time, with over 500 members. That means the goal is always to have that many members. And right now it might be a little bit under, but you know, it's been a tough year.
A lot of
people are coming and going. There are dynamics going on. So I think you're feeling that maybe like every other organization is.
Yeah. And whenever we change our processing partner, so to speak, we've always lost members, but we typically get them back. So I'm expecting
just some churn.
Yes, I'm expecting October we'll get a lot of our members back, and we still have. I mean, we have already raised nearly $40,000 for this event. So
that's a pretty good amount.
It's a pretty good amount, exactly.
And what's exciting about it too, like I said, there's great networking that goes on. So not only for guests who are wanting to learn more, but really people who are in development, people who might not be in development or philanthropy or any of that, but maybe are starting a new job and are trying to understand who not only are people who personally give, because again, this is about personal giving. This isn't about corporate giving or any of that, but it allows people, individuals, to meet others who may come from this world, because I think it's attractive to people who are in this world, but also, like you said, lay people, if you will, folks that are not necessarily in development.
And we also get a lot of people too that have retired here to Tucson, and they're looking for a place to give back. So coming to 100 Plus Women, you get to hear about four amazing different nonprofits, three that you're going to vote on that night, and one that we gave our monies to the last time. And mm-hmm. So a lot of times our members will find their passion through hearing about these nonprofits, and they will go and then volunteer more or give more funds to them. So it's like a win-win. We haven't mentioned that in 10 years we've given a little over $1.2 million.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So,
and here locally,
all that money stays here locally. And so when you think about, and that's like $100 at a time. And important thing you said, there is no corporate matching. This is all just Tucson women giving $100, pooling it together. And in 10 years, we've given, I think it's about $1,265,000, which is crazy.
That is crazy good.
It is crazy good.
Crazy good.
Crazy good. Well, and then we also had two other chapters spin off. We have a men's chapter and a teens chapter that I do want to just mention real quick.
That is,
because if you have men in your life and they have a heart for giving, obviously some of the charities that go into their hat are a little bit different than the women's organizations.
Sure.
And then our teens do the same thing. And so teens give $25. So if you have a teen in your household that wants, you know,
to learn how to become part of the whole giving back community.
Yeah. And just think, if we can teach our kids about giving at a young age, like, we're going to raise all these amazing.
It's a good lesson in financial responsibility and financial planning and budgeting, and how that all makes a difference.
Yes.
Believe it or not, next commercial break is coming up right now, so stay tuned. We'll be back shortly. Matt, take us away. And we're back with a little Daz Band bringing us back into our very last segment of our first hour of Monday, October 20th. It's been so exciting to have Desha Myers-Davis in the studio with us this morning because she is the founder of 100 Plus Women Who Care Tucson. And we're getting ready to celebrate. I say we because I've been part of this and have attended and I'm so in love with this organization. We're getting ready to celebrate next Thursday, October 30th, the 10th anniversary of the Big Give. Desha, thank you so much for being here this morning. And you shared so many exciting points this morning that I bet some of our listeners may not be aware of, one of which is that it's been around 10 years. So yes. Yay, congratulations on that. And that in that time span, women coming together, giving $100 a quarter, have made over a $1.265 million impact to the greater Tucson area alone. Congratulations on that.
Thank
you. That's amazing. That is amazing. And I think we would be remiss not to say that you have a fabulous team that works with you there. And when I say work, I mean you roll up the sleeves, you do the hard work. All of you are volunteers. You have other day jobs, so to speak.
We do. We all, this is like our passion.
It
our passion
sure
project
is.
Because we all have full-time jobs outside, so we're all volunteer run. And what we do is pretty amazing. Like,
To
think about it, that we are all volunteer run and we come together in this amazing, really 2-hour event and can raise $40,000 just like that.
Yes, you really can. And people still have time if they want to. Ladies, if you are out there any age, young to longer in tooth, as we say, to come together, get out next Thursday from 5:30 to 7:30, and it goes quickly and it runs like clockwork. The first hour is networking. The second hour is the presentations and the voting. You can become a member. If you're not a member yet, please go online to 100womenwhocaretucson.org. There are phone numbers there also and a place to drop a message. And I know that that message box is red because I had to drop a message in there and I got a call back from Desha probably within about 90 minutes. So I was
thrilled. I'll be honest. The people that monitor it, we have lives too and on vacation. So we try to, but sometimes
sometimes it might take a little bit.
Take a little bit, but most of the time it we'll get back to you. We will get back to you.
Yes, you always get a response out. So Desha, I do want to do a shout out to your fabulous team. So you have Diana, you've got Julie, you've got, let's see, how do you pronounce Diana's last name? Charbonneau.
Charbonneau. Uh-huh.
Diana Charbonneau, Julie Kluwer, Veronica Adams, Devi Clinton, Jennifer Phelps, Mindy Bennett, and the fabulous with her red hat, is it Chrissy Ballard, right?
Yes.
And all of these ladies are working as volunteers to make sure that 100 plus women who care Tucson functions, that the memberships get processed, that the money gets pooled, that people come and the event actually happens at Westin La Paloma. And folks, if you want to make a big difference and maybe you don't have the deepest of pockets, this is your organization because every cent counts. And you will find out at the very least, you will meet about other women who have the same passion as you. And also you will find out about amazing organizations. I have learned so much about nonprofits that I didn't even know existed. One that sticks out among others, I'm a four-legged furry, what do they call it? Furry pet mom.
Yeah.
And I've had dogs and cats, and I didn't realize that we have a really great a nonprofit that actually helps give a discounted or free pet food to pet owners that may be in need because of maybe some circumstances that might be going on in their lives, and they want to make sure that those pets are fed. I think that's amazing work.
Yeah, and that's what's so cool. It's whatever our members, what they're passionate about. So if you go to our website, we have a charity page, and you can see all of the vetted charities that our members have nominated. And remember, they only go in the hat, though, if that member that nominated them comes that evening.
So the nonprofits have to show up as well as the members have to show up,
well,
right?
The member who's nominated that charity.
Okay, yeah. Needs to show up, and then you will hear more. So much more to learn. I know we're getting ready to wrap up. Desha, it has been a pleasure to have you here live in studio on Rainmakers this morning, and I am excited to see you next week at the Big Give. And thank you for letting our listeners and our viewers know more about how they can get involved with the same passion that you have.
Thanks so much. Hope to see everyone next Thursday.
Great. Thanks so much. And coming up, stay tuned. We're going to have Austin Wright from the Tucson Airport Authority. He is Chief Communications Officer, and going to be talking about great ways that the Airport Authority is also giving back to their fellow government employees and other great things going on that they do to give back. So stay tuned. Good morning. We're back for our second hour segment on Monday, October 20th. I'm your host, Lydia Aranda, and if it's Monday, it's got to be Rainmakers. We are the Monday segment of Weekday Positive Talk Radio Show, The Morning Voice, here at KVOI. We just wrapped up an exciting first hour with Desha Bimers-Davis, who is the founder of 100 Plus Women Who Care Tucson, and we were talking about the exciting 10th anniversary Big Give that is happening next week, Thursday, October 30th, from 5:30 to 7:30 at Westin La Paloma. So if you heard our segment, or if you're curious to learn more, if you want to attend, if you'd like to become a member, please feel free to show up to that event. It makes a big difference. Just a little bit, 2 hours of your time, $100 makes a big difference for a whole quarter and much beyond. Behind the screen, we've got Matt Neely, who keeps us running on time and helps share the news and participates in our conversations. Matt, appreciate everything that you do. And now we're going into our second hour. I'm so excited to have Austin Wright, who is Chief Communications Officer of the Tucson Airport Authority. Austin, welcome. Thanks for being on Rainmakers this morning.
Thanks. Good morning. Always happy to be here.
Very excited to have you here. You and I just happened to see each other last week because I'm a very proud member of the Tucson Airport Authority. And last week we had our Fall 2025 Tucson Airport Authority member mixer. That was a mouthful.
It was.
It was a gorgeous night. We were out at Hacienda del Sol, which is one of the fabulous venues that we have here in the Tucson area, and happens to be a favorite of the Airport Authority to hold its board meetings, its member events, its breakfasts, and of course these mixers.
Yeah.
So it was great to see the team.
Yeah, it was great to see you too. We love having those events, and especially when the weather cooperates, which it certainly did last week. It was absolutely beautiful. We hit the jackpot.
Oh, I agree with you. It was fabulous. And after having all that rain, there were things in bloom that might not otherwise had been, but it was a nice dry but crisp night, and definitely fall.
Yeah.
And as we were there, I was hearing so much of speaking with you and many of your colleagues at the authority, and of course, fabulous Danette Bewley, CEO. We were talking about what's going on currently in our community and across the country, and I dare say the impact that's happening everywhere with government shutdown. When the federal government shuts down, people feel it, and they feel it in a lot of different ways. And of course, airports are very much impacted by the reality that many of the folks who make airports run are part of the federal government, including air traffic controllers and TSA and some of the related staff and departments therein. I was really touched by the fact that Tucson Airport Authority, because you are a separate entity, you're your own entity, is helping support those federal employees as they are unemployed and doing things to help ease the burden of the reality that they have not been paid now and are going to be going on for it, I think at least the foreseeable future, without pay. And that really has an impact on their daily lives.
Yeah, the reality is they play an important role in our ability to operate the airport. And the airport is really part of the ecosystem here in Southern Arizona. We need the airport to be operational. Mm-hmm. And our federal employees, TSA, Air Traffic Control, CBP, they play a really big part in our ability to stay open, to be on time, to be safe, reliable, efficient. So we are committed to doing everything we can to ensure that we take care of them in this hard time. So for us, that means providing, you know, meals, breakfast, lunch, dinner, making sure that our employees are opening their hearts and bringing in food items, household items, pet supply items, baby items. And we've almost set up a little pantry, basically, where employees can go in and take what they need. We can't imagine how hard this is, especially as we go week after week after week now into the shutdown. So we appreciate everything they do for us, and we are committed to being a strong partner for them, too.
Well, that's wonderful. It's so needed. It's so necessary. And I love that you said this is about helping fellow colleagues who need some help, and having also the wherewithal to be able to provide those kind of items. I think some of that, I'm going to guess, might be coming out of maybe even personal donations from Airport Authority staff themselves.
Yeah, a lot of it. The whole pantry is set up really with personal donations. We've had a few corporate donations, which we certainly appreciate as well. But we've just asked the airline employees, the airport employees, anyone who does business in or around our immediate community has been helping too. Even Visit Tucson is chipping in to help us.
Oh, wonderful.
Big player in the tourism sector.
Sure.
So we just feel so grateful that in these difficult moments, people come together.
Yes.
And that's something I love so much about this community is there's so much love in Southern Arizona, in Tucson, in the region that we serve. And it really comes to the surface in a moment like this where you see an outpouring of support for those in need.
That's right. That's right. And even things like providing meals, like you said. So there's a pantry set up. These are coming from people taking the time and the care to donate items, take the time to maybe go collect items from others and bring them. And like you said, a little bit of corporate donation too, which is thank you to the corporations that are able to do that or the organizations. I guess what I want to say is that I also imagine that it's probably hard for people who don't usually have to ask because they are gainfully employed, because they are, in their career and doing what they need to do, and they're focused on the kind of service they need to provide in their day jobs, to have to ask for a little bit of help. And this allows them to perhaps not have to ask. Instead, you just make it available. And if they find the need, then they can just know that they don't have to feel overly vulnerable, but rather can just go and get the assistance.
You said that perfectly. And that was really our goal and how we set that up is we don't want anyone to be uncomfortable. We want it to be very natural and welcoming. Mm-hmm. And the reality is this is a hard time. I think no matter who you are or what you do for a living, if you go weeks and weeks and weeks without a paycheck, everyone is going to need a little bit of help, and it's okay to accept help. And we are really an airport family. No matter who you work for or what you do at the airport, we're all in it together.
Absolutely.
And we want to take care of the people we work with.
That's right. Well, and I think we also, as you talk about how wonderfully connected our community is, and I wholeheartedly agree, that we're also lucky in how efficient the Tucson International Airport runs. And thanks to the Tucson Airport Authority for you and all the team and hopefully some of us who are involved as being members of the authority or maybe being vendors or maybe being supportive organizations and whatnot. The whole ecosystem, it's not only about travel and tourism, it's really about the economy of Southern Arizona, and it is impacted greatly by the success of the airport. And therefore, kind of that adage, for those who have been given much, come great responsibility.
Yeah.
And you see the community as part of you, or I should say we see the community as part of us.
Yeah.
And in that light, we come together, and I'm remembering during pandemic what a vital role the airport played as a place of safety, as a beacon of hope. I know at the time with the nonprofit that I was working with and helping lead to be a solutions provider, that we came to DenEd and all of you and said, how do we do some things together? And we helped students and we helped businesses. Certainly we helped with testing and all kinds of other things. And it was just a wonderful opportunity to have the authority and then the grounds and the facilities itself be a place of safety.
It's interesting. One of our cultural fundamentals, we call it within the organization, is agility. And it's that ability to kind of pivot and do the right thing or the right thing for business or the right thing for the community. And that's something I love about working for the Tucson Airport Authority, is how agile our airport is. And we try really, really hard to be easy. We always talk about that in everything we do. The airport's easy, but it's easy because we're able to pivot. We're able to do what's right. We're able to take care of the people that work there.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a great organization to be a part of.
Yes.
And we just found out a couple months ago that we have an annual economic impact of $10.9 billion, with a B. That's huge.
That is huge.
And that's a real, true top player in the community. So the airport is, I said the word ecosystem earlier in the broadcast, I think, and it's true. We are part mm-hmm. of the business ecosystem. 42,000 jobs rely on the airport. So we're doing everything we can to make sure that the federal employees are not impacted too hard, and that they can still come to work and be able to help us do our mission to serve the community of Southern Arizona. So
wow.
it's all really interrelated, but wow, the airport's impressive. I love it. It's such a cool place.
It really is. And I think when we take the time to pause and kind of step back and look at those facts and numbers, and many of us hear those, if we are part of chambers or if we are part of small business associations or we're part of industry, we probably hear a lot of those. Certainly if we're part of the university or community college, we hear those numbers flying back and forth all the time. But when you really step back and think about that and the over 40,000 jobs, that means a lot of people. Every one of those jobs as a person, and like you said, when you can step in to be able to help when our brethren are in need, that's really our responsibility as a community, because it takes a village, and to be part of the village means giving back when you can.
You said it perfect. You are just articulating this great, Lydia. It's so true.
Well,
it is so
I believe
true.
In this, and this is what Rainmakers is all about, is really yeah. bringing light to this. And when we were speaking earlier this morning with our first hour guest, with Desha, we were talking about the fact that everybody can make a difference. And sometimes we need to highlight those opportunities that bring together the tools or the pathways that allow folks to tap in at any level. It doesn't always have to be those with great wealth yep. or those with a massive amounts of time on their hand. It can be us walking in our daily jobs to do it. And I think that's what really struck me when I heard what you all were doing, because it's not like any of you aren't busy from morning till night, you know, running an airport, overseeing the operations, making sure the safety is intact, lots of regulation, lots of comings and goings, and yet staying in a frame where you can be agile, where you can be nimble, is amazing. So that means it's intentional. And when it's intentional, it can make a great big difference.
It is busy at the airport, but we're never too busy to care. And I think that's why people choose to come back to the Tucson Airport, because regardless of where you're going or what brings you into the airport, our employees are friendly. Our airport is beautiful and clean, and we care. Mm-hmm. And the care isn't just about the facility or the flights.
Right.
It's about the environment, the people that work there, the greater community of those 40,000 people that rely on the airport. That's why I like it, is every day I wake up and I feel like we're serving the community. We're in public service. And sure. that's so important, and taking care of federal employees right now in this moment in time is how we're showing that care.
It sure is. Well, we're at our first commercial break, Austin, and I wonder if you'll hold with us. And listeners and viewers, please hold as we go into this quick break, because when we come back, we're going to tell you more about some other programs and exciting news at the Tucson Airport. Stay tuned. You're listening to Rainmakers. It's Monday, October 20th. Gotta get next to you. Here we are on a Monday morning listening to the Temptations, and I love that they can take those gray skies to blue. I know that at Rainmakers, we're always proud of our juju that helps make it rain. Sometimes that's real and wet for our Southern Arizona beautiful lands, who always need that nourishing rain. But often it's referring to the fact that we are here to help highlight those who are making it rain for our communities. And the Tucson Airport Authority is definitely one of those. We're so excited to have Austin Wright, Chief Communications Officer for the Tucson Airport Authority, with us on this segment. Austin, I want to talk a little bit about your background, because many, many people, you are known to so many here in the community for the great work that you do, but they may not know a little bit about your background. And that is that you, well, first of all, you've been a number of years in this position, but in your background, your master's degree of public Public Administration is from UT. You're from University of Texas. And you also are a U of A graduate, where your bachelor's was in general studies and an emphasis on media. So, of course, all of that comes together in a great way for being with a public entity, as well as being part of the communications channel, which in your role, I've been very impressed, is always very incoming as well as outgoing. You are a great receptor to fellow colleagues, fellow leaders in organizations, and it seems you always have your finger on the pulse of what's going on out in the community as well as in the authority.
Well, thanks for the nice words, Lydia. I absolutely love this community. I fell in love with it when I went to the University of Arizona, mm-hmm. and I'm not originally from here. I'm from Pennsylvania, and I always wanted to move back, and I had a 10-year career in the airline industry and worked in a bunch of different airports and a bunch of different roles and really got to know aviation. And then when I had the opportunity to move back to Tucson, how could I resist? I absolutely love it here. I love the culture. I love the weather. I love the people. And now I get to love what I do too. And this is such a fun job. And I get to connect with so many people like you in the community. And what's better than that? It's always fun.
Well, there are so many great people in the community, and they speak highly of you. So does your team. I have to give shout out to anybody who might, our viewers may or may not be seeing this, but Austin is sparking on his coffee cup, or his spill-proof cup. It's a Bucky's cup.
Right.
That's from the Dallas area.
That
and
is.
I know that you've got a background working at Dallas Love Field.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a number of years in Dallas and Grapevine and Plano area. So Bucky's was big. Still
is. Oh,
yeah.
Bucky's is great.
And so it's nice to see that this morning on your cup. You also spent time in Chicago Midway.
Yeah.
And both Love Field and Midway, in their own rights, have gone and continue to go through many changes, upgrades, have become much more... have grown a lot in their flight patterns and the number of flights they have coming in to and from their airports. And so that is very much like Tucson International Airport.
Yeah.
My experience has been that the way to support Southern Arizona is to be in touch with and be aligned with those entities that are making such a big economic impact. And you said in our first segment, $10.9 billion with a B annual economic impact to Southern Arizona is what the Tucson Airport Authority brings in. That's amazing, and sometimes people forget about those numbers. But that can go away if we don't frequent our airport, if we don't make sure to take the flights in and out of Tucson. Now, that doesn't mean always. I think like any regional airport, there are choices to go to other places. But our airport really makes a difference, and we have a lot. We have all the main major airlines coming in, plus regional airlines that come in. And the way to get more frequency is to continue to fly in and out of Tucson so that the airlines believe that their flights will be filled.
Yeah.
It's kind of the simple math.
It is simple. I mean, that's really what it is. You've got to use the flights that we have today, even if it means making a connection. We always tell people a one-stop connection is still super easy when you start and end at Tucson because of how easy it is to fly local.
That's right.
But we can get you to over 400 worldwide destinations with a single stop of less than 2 hours. And I love to travel. I go all over the place. I use my vacation time. I love seeing the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I always start and end in Tucson.
Good.
And it's really sometimes fun to, like, for instance, in January, I'm going to India. Well,
oh,
you
my goodness,
can get to India
fun.
Really easily out of Tucson.
And people may not automatically
yes.
think that.
So next time you are about to book a flight, go on to, you know, Google Travel or Priceline or wherever you go to book a flight, put TUS in the search bar. I promise you we can get you there, and you'll probably be surprised by the fares, because although the fare difference on average is about $48 between Phoenix and Tucson, if you're going internationally, usually it's much cheaper out of Tucson, which surprises people.
Oh, good. That's a nice surprise, especially these days.
Yes.
Because travel can be very expensive.
Yeah.
And, you know, the airlines are going through a lot themselves with a lot of different changes.
Yep.
Some of the economic impact or some of the functionality of the airport has changed a lot in the recent years. The runway project
yes.
is one of them. We have a lot going on for folks who may not be aware. Out at the Tucson Airport, there's a lot happening with expanding the runways. And in order to do that, there has to be be kind of some turmoil with kind of shoving planes onto one runway while we fix or build or expand another, and then reshifting back. So there's always a little play there. But also the bag belt system is going to be a multi-year upgrade is what I call it.
Yeah, it's called CBIS. So let's start at the runway. We're in the works of a $400 million runway program. It's called ACE, the Airfield Safety Enhancement Program. What we're doing is building a second full-size parallel runway for commercial use, so that way we can have really two aircraft going at once. You could have a military operation on one runway and an airline operation on the other runway going simultaneously.
And not being in each other's way, to be very clear.
Yes, and added redundancy too, where if we had to do service on a runway, or let's say an airplane had a flat tire or something, you could still be operating the airport without any disturbance at all. And it also adds additional spacing between the two runways, geometry changes to taxiways. It's all about modernizing the airfield. The airfield has always been safe. We take safety as our top priority always.
You've won awards to that extent as
well. We won the FAA Safety Award last year. There's so much focus on safety at every airport I've ever worked at, especially Tucson. But we are just modernizing the airfield to add that extra layer of redundancy. But it's $400 million and a lot of work. So if you come out to the airport, you're going to see 2 miles of dirt basically right now. We're about to start laying the second runway.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. And then CBIS is an enabling program to eventually build a new terminal in about 10 years. And this is building an all-new bag belt system that's modernized, that's efficient, and that'll be most likely around $95 million.
Wow.
So we have a lot of stuff happening at the airport, and when you fly local, that's how we're able to invest in the infrastructure, invest in the experience. We just put new carpet in. There's so much exciting stuff happening at the airport, and it's all because the community is rallying behind TUS and choosing to fly local.
That's right. And even though all that money, you know, a lot of money comes in from the revenue from the operations and the flying and people flying in and out, but also the more traffic we have, the more passengers we have flying in and out also speaks well in the grant applications that the airport puts in for certain grants or certain opportunities. In other words, looking at the steady traffic and the need is the story that helps tell funders this is what we need to be able to go forward. So it all works together toward that. We're about to take our second break, so stay tuned. We're listening to Austin Wright, Chief Communications Officer, Tucson Airport Authority, here on Rainmakers. Coming back into the smooth tune of George Benson, such a wonderful musician in so many ways, breezin'. And we are a little breezy this morning here in Tucson, Arizona, and I know it's a little crisp outside, isn't it, Matt? I think we've got some cool temperatures. We're getting almost to 60.
The mornings and evenings are very nice.
So sure
maybe
are.
A little warm in the daytime, but the mornings and evenings are real nice.
You know, I think very quickly we're going to be the envy again of much of the country.
Yeah, and we're past the point of where Austin and his teammates worry about high takeoff temperatures. So,
exactly.
We're past that.
Bingo.
We're past that. We're enjoying what's going on. October is always such a great month. And it has been a lovely morning. Speaking this morning earlier with 100 plus women who care Tucson. And now we're speaking with Tucson Airport Authority. We've got Austin Wright here live in studio. And we've talked about economic impact. We started off talking about giving back, which was kind of the overall theme of this morning. And ways that community and companies can give back not only to their own, but make a wider ripple impact to colleagues and other organizations that they work with. Austin, we were speaking at the beginning about the impact that federal government shutdown has on so many industries, the airline industry, airport industry, travel and transportation in general is a big part of that, and the safety and concerns of operations, the ability to run an airport during times like this is crucial. And you all are making a difference not only to help support those federal employees at TSA and air traffic controllers and CBP and others so that they can have some extra help during this time that they are not being paid. But boy, people are really dedicated and they're staying in their jobs. They're doing what needs to be done. And that's equally important too. And we're making a difference here in Tucson, keeping that running a little bit different than some other cities. I have to imagine LAX, Chicago,
Atlanta, New York. Yeah. We're seeing, let's start with the positive. We're really lucky in Tucson. Mm-hmm. We have employees that are continually coming to work despite the government shutdown to ensure that our community is able to fly with ease. We appreciate that. However, we're not seeing that across the country. Right. We are seeing in bigger airports that require a much bigger footprint to operate safely. Other cities, maybe like LAX or Atlanta or New York, where they just have massive operations.
And they are massive. That's a good word.
We are seeing delays. Mm-hmm. And that is to be expected because they need a lot of employees to get through their daily operations, where our total federal footprint at the airport is about 80 employees. And maybe in Atlanta, 80 employees would cover just one checkpoint for one of the terminals.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So we are really fortunate, but we've got to be transparent. That's our style at the airport. If you are traveling, pack your patience. It could be a little stressful as long as the government is shut down. We are seeing some ground delay programs in cities that may have an impact from air traffic control shortages right now. You are safe to fly. I want to emphasize that. Safety is always the top priority. But sometimes they have to add these ground delay programs to add a little spacing to ensure that the volume
of
flights.
It's safe.
Yeah. But that's it. You'll get there. Just pack your patience. But in Tucson, things are good. It's business as usual.
Well, thank you for explaining that because I think people do get worried. They might not be clear on the messaging that they're getting. I think the airlines have all been very good about making sure their apps that notify passengers are working and are sending out messages and things like that. And that used to be really clunky. Not too many years ago, that used to be pretty clunky, and now it seems to be working a lot better. You all at the airports yourselves have your own notices and ways that people can log on or get some information quickly online or through apps. But safety is key, and anytime, even when everybody is fully paid and up and running and there doesn't seem to be any hiccup in any of the systems, there's such a thing as weather.
Yes, there
and
is.
And weather we were just talking about and kind of making light of the fact that we've got mild weather here in southern Arizona and we love it. But that also means that just because it's clear here doesn't mean that in some of the places you're flying to or connecting through aren't getting hit by things. And October is particularly notorious for weather shifts, for what do they call it? Weather systems.
Yeah, hurricanes.
Hurricanes and other things that nobody has control over.
Yeah, and I think sometimes people are at the airport and they see, you know, let's say they're flying from Tucson to Dallas and the weather's good in Tucson and the weather's good in Dallas and they can't understand how their flight is on a weather delay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I go on like Flight Radar or Flight Aware and you can click track inbound plane and you can see all the cities where that plane has come from over the last 24 hours. Mm-hmm. There's a good chance your plane at some point in the day is going to cross weather.
Hit something.
Yeah. We are so sophisticated in aviation technology now with ILS approaches and all kinds of computerized flight technology that makes flying in any weather really, really safe and easy. Mm-hmm. But when there is weather, you have to add some added spacing, for instance, between flight routes. You can't have them coming in 2 miles back to back to back. Maybe they make a 6 mile trail for the flight. So there's a lot of factors that go in. And when you're spacing out the planes throughout the day, by the time the plane gets to you at 5 p.m. in the afternoon, you could be 30 minutes, 45 minutes delayed. If you're looking for insider travel advice, take the first flight in the morning. That's what I always tell people.
Yep. Go as early as you can and get there.
And get out and get there.
It's a good
book early.
And there are a lot of early flights. I have been to the airport more times than perhaps I would have anticipated at, you know, 5 in the morning because or 4:45 in the morning because right. I'm taking that 5:30 a.m. flight, especially if I'm going back east. So lots of travel, lots of things going on. And when weather hits, I love that. Pack your patience.
Yep.
And just remember that there are a lot of other travelers around you as well who are going through the same thing.
Yeah. And treat the people around you with respect and kindness. It goes so much further. I talked earlier in the show about how kind and amazing the employees are that work at the airport. The greater airport community, the airlines. These are employees that are coming from other cities, you know, American Airlines, Southwest Airlines. This is a super senior station mm-hmm. where these employees want to be in Tucson because the weather's beautiful. It's a smaller airport. They know what they're doing. They have the tools to help you.
And the experience.
Yeah, just be nice. And when one is nice, we're all nice and we can take care of the situation
That's the best
possible way.
And even if you're giving feedback or having to request something and it's maybe not so positive, you can do it in a civil way.
Yes.
And I would say that's a great behavior for all of us.
Yes.
Talking about anything in any industry, if we're requesting assistance or advocating. You know, we've had a lot going on all around the country. It was a busy weekend. Many cities were holding rallies and some call it protests, some call it rallies. I call it advocacy on either side. And that things like that lead to more travel as well. People want to go sometimes to other communities to help rally or support or give a message or attend a conference or attend a summit, even if it's last minute. So travel plays a big part in our ability as individuals to use our voice and advocate for the things we care about, issues, policies. Sometimes it's just supporting students or, you know, it could be a whole number of things. It's not always negative in a fight. Sometimes it's really standing up and using our voice for some positive things. And travel plays a big part in that. And Tucson Airport Authority really seems to always have its finger on the pulse of what might be happening in the traveling public.
Yeah, we watch it all really closely. And first, I want to say, I love the optimism and positivity to start a Monday morning with all this good news. That is always fun. I love, you know, yes. starting a Monday with a smile.
You bet.
But we watch all the data trends. Mm-hmm. Our Air Service Development Department, led by Brian Kidd, is just so incredibly engaged in understanding why people are coming to Tucson and why mm-hmm. people are flying out of Tucson. Mm-hmm. Demand at the airport is through the roof. We have really high load factors. We continue to lead the West Coast airports in terms of seat capacity growth. The national average is about 1.5% for year-over-year seat capacity growth. We are above 10%, which means the demand to our region is strong.
Great.
That is great. That's how we will continue to get more flights, more frequency, bigger planes mm-hmm. off of the regional jets and onto the mainline jets. So it's a lot of good news, but we are teaming up with local businesses in the next year ahead to do a campaign called Fly Tucson First. And we are going to really link in on 5 or 6 key businesses to launch this that do a lot of travel out of Tucson to identify why they travel, give them perks to travel locally, and really make sure that we as an air service team are able to meet their needs, that we provide the flights that they need to do business. So we're laser focused on working with the community to try to continue to grow and be the best possible airport. Now, we're never going to be a mega hub airport.
No, because that's not what this area is, but we're right under that level.
Yes, we are going to be an airport that meets your needs
yes.
and does it well. So we are really trying to
You don't have to park miles and miles
yeah,
away.
It's so
you
easy.
Don't have to walk miles in the airport,
and
all that kind of
thing. The parking is cheap.
That's, it really is.
We just did
very
a study
affordable.
This year, and we are in the very, very bottom in terms of parking rates, which is a great place to be because we want to make sure that we can offset that $50 fare premium mm-hmm. through parking. So we always tell people, even if your ticket costs $50 more, we will make it up to you. We're going to save you time, which is money. We're going to save you on parking. We're going to make the experience zero stress, which is worth something
right.
too. So we are focused on making sure that the overall experience at Tucson is more affordable than if you drive up the street to Phoenix.
That's right. Well, you have so many options. Like I said, I love all of this planning and drawing a picture for people to understand that while these things are in development, they are not just tactical for the right here. These are strategic developments anticipating how the airport is going to continue to grow in order to serve our growing community, in
yep.
order to attract more business in and tourism in and visitors in and families to move here. So we are about to go take our next break, but let's hold that thought, because when we come back, I want to talk about how people can get more involved with the airport and maybe even come see some artwork on your walls in the mezzanine. So stay tuned. You're listening to Rainmakers.
Coming up tomorrow, civic engagement with Ted Maxwell. We'll have Colleen Sanchez, the leader of IBM Tucson, and Jaime Molera of Molera Alvarez with a legislative update. And don't forget about the Morning Voice meet and greet. Ed calls them an eat and greet. It's going to be at the PAD, 300 South Tool Avenue, and it's Thursday from 5:30 to 7 o'clock. We'll see you there.
And so there we are with Yvonne Elliman, If I Can't Have You. And if we can't have Tucson Airport Authority and the Tucson International Airport, I don't know what our community would do. Austin Wright, it's been great having you on this morning. Thank you for taking time to help us tell our listeners about not only what the Airport Authority role in not in keeping the airport running safely, but also taking care of the employees and our colleagues and the community. It's been so enlightening.
Well, thank you. And thanks to you, Lydia, for being a member. You play an important advocacy role in the community and advocating for us this morning on the radio. We really appreciate it. It's people like you that make the airport really, truly amazing and a pleasure to be a part of. So thanks for having us.
You bet. It's such an honor. And I really love the camaraderie that goes on in the Airport Authority, Dennett Bewley, and the whole team that you are a part of and have been for a number of years. I think in the few years that you have been there, I mean, it's several years, but in the recent years that you have been there, you have seen so much change happening, because you came on board right as we were getting through pandemic and now seeing the ripples on the economy, on small business, on community, on federal grants, on all kinds of things. And yet, travel is increasing. So the airport is always a step ahead in thinking, where do we need to grow? What do we need to do? But how also do we keep in touch with the community? And being part of the Tucson Airport Authority as a member and working with the board and all of that, I am always impressed with that connection into so many industries and nonprofits, and the connection that even you all do. You offer tours. Many people might not know. If you haven't really seen the ins and outs of the airport, there are opportunities to take a tour to understand all the different things that are going on. How can people find out more about that?
More information at flytucson.com. Our website has it all. You can follow our social media channels.
Yes.
Hashtag FlyTUS. Also, we have it's called the e-news, a monthly newsletter. You can subscribe to that on our website. It's a great way to stay in touch with what's going on, what's new on the horizon. We also connect you every month to one of our artists that's on display in the airport. We have amazing art. It truly is an experience.
It is a lovely up on the mezzanine level, which is kind of, it's above ticketing. Let's see.
Yeah.
Would it be yeah, right above ticketing?
Yeah. There's art everywhere. There's art on
art
every
all
level.
All over the place.
Yeah.
That's right. But in the mezzanine in particular, you always have a featured artist.
Yeah, and the Center Art Gallery.
And does that change every month?
It
really
does. Wow. We just put up some new art by a local artist, Victor Navarro, who is amazing. And he just did two outdoor murals at the airport. So if you love colorful, eclectic art, Victor is such a cool guy, a local guy who lives in the area and works for actually Pima Community College and does art as a side passion. And we get to highlight that at the airport now. So it's
Isn't
amazing.
That wonderful?
Yeah.
And people get to come and go. Again, easy access. The parking is very affordable, even not only in the daily or hourly parking, but there's also extended parking that it really isn't very far away at all.
Not at all.
You can take a little tram, but you don't have to take a really long bus ride or anything.
No.
It's really quick.
2 minutes.
And should people want to, they can even park off-site. A number of small businesses run parking lots, and that's important, you know, because it stimulates the economy. But the airport is involved in so much.
We really are, and we are able to do it all because the community flies local.
That's
the message. Thank you for your support.
You bet. People, please go on to flytucson.com.
Yep.
And hashtag FlyTUS.
I love it.
We are excited about that. I know we're wrapping up a wonderful Monday morning. It's been October 20th. Rainmakers, we are getting close to the end of October, but Austin Wright, Chief Communications Officer of Tucson Airport Authority, thank you for being part of our Rainmakers morning. You all are truly making it rain for Southern Arizona.